Here's Higdon. It sits up nicely for Michael Higdon. And what a start for Motherwell. But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Sam. Magnificent Malt. Stephen Robinson celebrates. Motherwell, 2-1. And could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr. And Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of 14 of the special editions of the MFC podcast. Tonight I'm joined by Suzanne Winters to look back on her footballing career. We'll talk a wee bit about the goings-on in the world and then just kind of chew the fat for the next half an hour to 45 minutes. Suzanne, thank you very much for joining me tonight.
No, thanks for having me on.
Certainly, life has changed quite a bit since you were last on.
Yeah.
I've obviously introduced you as Suzanne Winters there as well.
Yep.
Your football career has sadly come to an end.
Yeah.
What a career you had, though. How are you finding life without the playing football on a regular basis? How's that going for you?
Yeah, it's been difficult. I'm not going to lie, Andy. Obviously, football's been my full life, and then even obviously when I had my first child, I went back and I still trained and played, and then obviously unfortunately I got an injury that forced me kind of into retirement. So I think that was hard because it was like the decision was made for me, basically, rather than me making the decision. But, you know, that's part and parcel of football. And it's something now that, you know, I'm accepted. But then on the other hand, I've got, you know, quality time with my two gorgeous boys and obviously my husband. So, yeah, it's completely different. I'm just mom now. I'm just a mom and a wife, where before when I went to football training, I was Suzanne. You know, it was my time to have a bit of banter with the girls and, you know, train. And then, so it was just time for myself. So when you're not used to having that couple hours every night to yourself, you know, it's quite hard going. But I think the most that I missed about football is the, you know, the changing room, the training, the banter that we all had. As you know, Andy, being at our training sessions and stuff, it was always a laugh. And yeah, we had a great group of girls. Every team that I've been at, I had a great group of girls. So, yeah, it's difficult, but, you know, it was going to happen at some point. I had to retire. So, yeah, it's different. But as I say, like, I'm dead grateful. I've got two gorgeous kids and a husband. And obviously we watch football and I go to David's games. And now Oscar plays football. So, I mean, I am always busy.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was noticeable last season when I was involved with the Motherwell women's team that you were still attending games, taking an interest in the wider game. There was certainly a few whispers that they were going to try and coach you back into playing. is that a definite no-no? Are we closing the door in that?
I always, like, David always says to me, oh, like, why don't you go back and blah, blah, blah. But for me, it's more, like, obviously my injury was bad enough to take, and I don't have any family down here to help me with the boys. So, and David's obviously self-employed and plays football as well. So one, I would need to take them with me every weekend. And then two, if I did get injured, like I did before, I don't have anyone to help me with the kids. So that was why I had to retire, because I was obviously taking Oscar to school and I had a leg brace, and I can't risk really getting injured again in case, you know, like the smallest things, like even getting myself dressed, and I couldn't even get myself, look after myself, letting on Oscar at the time, and obviously now having two. So yeah, I sway back and forwards, but no, like 100% I wouldn't go back and play now. That's, and I'm not far off 40 now, so I don't think my fitness would match the Suzanne when I played years ago. So no, I definitely wouldn't go back and play.
Steady on. 36 a couple of days ago. Still got a wee bit of time to go. I'm only a couple of years behind you as well, so let's not talk about,
I don't know. Well, the girls in my team at Motherwell, when I did play there, I was old enough to be their mom, some of them, so yeah, it was obviously going to be Suzanne, like a wee bit of carry on and stuff. I was like, no, I really need to be a role model here as well. I've got kids that I was old enough to be their mom, so I had to try and be as sensible as possible. No, but it was really like good times and good memories to keep and cherish. And obviously, like I talk about football, and Oscar still remembers coming to my games and stuff. So it is lovely to talk about it with Oscar.
Yeah, absolutely. As I say, we'll go into it to depth, particularly about your time at Motherwell,
yep,
in just a minute or two. But you brought up something quite interesting there about the injury and the effect that it had in your life and, mm-hmm, and being able to go about your daily life. There was a player at Motherwell last season who sustained a really bad injury, and
yep,
there's obviously not the same type of medical cover and medical care. Now, I don't obviously want to get into a kind of mudslinging exercise in any sort of way.
Yeah,
but
of course, no.
There's key flaws in that for me that the purpose of the 14 podcasts are to kind of raise money for the Scottish Association of Mental Health, and I think knowing the girl in question that picked up this injury and the effect that, mm-hmm, it had on her. She was going to the games every week. She was going to training most weeks as well. So, mm-hmm, she was involved, but she wasn't involved, if you know what I mean. She's kind of on the periphery.
Yeah,
that is very difficult to manage. It's very upsetting to see.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I probably struggled some sort of, you know, like a breakdown, as you say, when I didn't have football. You know, I'd be upset. You know, like obviously there's different levels of mental health. So by all means, I'm not saying like I had to go to the doctors and get medication or anything like that. But for me, it was like I didn't even get to go to training and, you know, still be involved. It was just like injured and that was it. I was done. That was it. No training, no involvement with the girls that I'd been involved with for years. Instead of, you know, like seeing a season out and then it's like, right, girls, I'm emotionally, I'm ready, I'm done. I can still come to training, you know, kick a ball as if I want, just to, you know, still be part of it. But still not, you know, it was just really difficult to have it like that was your full life and then one injury that was it taken away from you. So it was really mentally tough for me. And then obviously it was like that was my routine since I was 14. So it was really, really hard. And obviously when I played with Scotland, you're covered through, you know, injuries, whether it's an MRI or, you know, I've had so many surgeries on my shins. But as soon as I retired from international duty, when you play for a club, you don't have the same medical support. So that's something that I would hope in the future in the women's game that they improve to support the girls more. Because if I had that support, then I probably would think about going back to play, because you would get the medical support and even like mental support that you would require to come back from an injury, where I don't think yet in Scotland, where unless you play for your country, then the clubs have got that support.
Yeah, and perhaps another factor is the surfaces.
Yeah.
Again, I only had a couple of seasons with Motherwell in it, so I didn't see as far from sort of the full country and the surfaces that other sides are playing on. But that was SWPL2, and then obviously SWPL1 the following season. So got a kind of quite rounded perspective on it. And some of the surfaces are very, very poor. I know that artificial surfaces are maybe the way forward when it comes to the kind of amateur status of the game. But I think if you're going to move forward, we do need to be playing in more grass pitches, or at least if they're artificial pitches, good ones, because there's a few that are just absolutely shocking.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the thing I noticed when I dropped down, you know, the leagues to, obviously, because I couldn't commit playing at Premier League level with obviously Oscar and I was pregnant, so, and obviously I kind of took time out of football, and then obviously Motherwell came in for me and I was like, well, it's an offer I can't refuse, going back to play, and they can work around Oscar and me being a mum and support me, which obviously I was really grateful to the club for doing so. But across the board when it comes to pitches, and I think now most clubs are playing it, you know, reasonably good pitches, or pitches that are affiliated with either a leisure centre or, you know, another football club. So that's good to see. But when I played, I've played on amazing pitches to pitches that I wouldn't even let Oscar and Theo run out and play on. So it's just, I think, finding the balance and getting good pitches for the girls and women to play on.
Yeah, and in turn, I guess that affects what it's like for spectators going along as well. There's a huge debate about where women's football is at just now. I think that it's been taken a lot more seriously than it was in previous years, particularly in Scotland. I think the game in England has been on the rise for quite some time, and they're back with a lot of money from sponsors and such like. Mm-hmm. But there was quite a few games, and forgive me for the expression, but they were played in front of two men and a dog quite often. Yep. And you can't really blame the people for not turning up when it's an open environment. It's pissing with rain, it's cold, there's no catering facilities to grab a cup of tea or coffee. So they didn't really, it wasn't promoted in the right way. And I think they're beginning to move towards a better way of advertising, I think, as well,
Andy, the difference with that is obviously we're talking about England, obviously, like financially, like there's no like sugarcoating it. The more money clubs invest or, you know, like advertise the game, or like Motherwell doing it great now that they've got the women attached to their men's, you know, social medias. So obviously the fans are seeing where the women's games are, you know, so that like that's a step forward in the game, where before it was just, it wasn't even advertised where the games were, let alone how bad the pitch was. Like when I played, it was me telling, oh, David, oh, my game's at wherever at 2 o'clock, and then telling. So it was just family and close friends that were at your game because it wasn't advertised anywhere else. So, and obviously now as well, like a lot of the games are on the telly, like the Women's Premier League and obviously Scotland games. So it's changing, I think, people's views on women's football in general and how they perceive it to be played. So yeah, it's definitely moving in the right direction. And even when I played, like in my youth, like the progression on where it's came, and by all means, we've got a long, long way to go, especially in Scotland. But the steps are going the right direction. So hopefully it can just get bigger and better in the years to come.
Yeah, and a great benchmark for that was last year's World Cup. You obviously got to cover the games. It's possibly the biggest roller coaster of emotions that I've seen someone take live in Sky Sports.
Kept bringing on, no.
It was, yeah. I think you look back in the games, and I think Shelley Kerr's side did experience kind of highs and lows. Then they had a fantastic achievement to qualify. Mm-hmm. Perhaps weren't at their best for the majority of the Japan and England games.
Yep.
But then roar into a 3-0 lead against Argentina. It looks like the place in the knockout stages were secure, and it was just devastation, really, particularly with ridiculous refereeing decisions and VAR. It was heartbreaking, and you went through it all live.
I've watched it back a few times, and I'm like, oh my goodness, Suzanne, like, what were you doing? But obviously, I've wore that shirt. I know what it means to wear the shirt. Like, I'm like so supportive of Shelley and the girls. So for me, I was just as if I was sitting at home watching it on the telly at home, and I switched off when I watched. I'm actually so thankful I never said a bad word live on national telly, because it's so out of my locker not to. To be fair, that's what I was just it's so like me not to. So, but I was so high 1 minute, I was buzzing, and then it just got ripped away. It was absolutely, I was honestly devastated for Shelley and the girls, because they just deserved so much more. But then on the other side, it's like they got to the World Cup, so what an achievement in itself, you know, for like our nation. And honestly, I couldn't have been prouder than Shelley and the girls, and obviously Shelley coming in and doing fantastic things for the women's game in Scotland. And that's what makes a difference as well, you know. Shelley's pushing and she's fighting and she always will, and we know that it will get bigger and better because we've got people like Shelley who's behind it, driving it forward.
I think what you say is really true in terms of, I think what we say about the Sky Sports News thing was, it was real. You weren't kind of sugarcoating anything. You were absolutely delirious when the team were winning and going through and heartbroken, because that's what football makes us feel like. And
definitely,
as a Motherwell Scotland fan, I'm very used to being kind of
up and down,
treading that path of being delighted and then getting my heart ripped out my chest. That's kind of what it does to you.
Yeah, but it's such a, like, obviously me and my husband both play football, and you know, Oscar's now into football and stuff, so we're a footballing family. And like, my mum watches occasionally. Obviously, she watches the women's because, you know, I used to play, and my sister. I just don't understand people that don't watch football and get the buzz, or go to games and get the buzz. I mean, I obviously know they've got the same with other sports or other hobbies or whatever. But for me, I'm just like, I just love football. And that's what else me and David are saying. We're like, not even watching on the telly, it's like, oh my goodness, like, we are completely lost without football. Like, it's just, can't even get it on the telly. We were watching like replays of games, and I was watching replays of women's games, and I'm like, that's what it's come to, because I'm missing it that much. I just need to watch a game on the telly. So yeah, hopefully this virus goes away and we can get back up to our kind of normal routine and get football back on the box.
Yeah, I think, and I sound like a broken record because I say it almost every night, but it's so far away from being the most important thing that's going on in the world just now. But I think for all of us, it's such a big part of our routines and such a big part of our lives that there's just a massive gaping void that I think everything that's going on, and any time we get drip fed a wee bit more information, even Nicola Sturgeon saying today that it was unlikely that kind of sport would return to normal anytime soon, and you're thinking, well, what if we go to the end of the year and what if this is
I know, and it's just like, even when it starts up, obviously I'll be like, they have to do a pre-season again, because everybody's going to be, you know, like, they're not going to be sharp, they're not going to be as fit as they should be, because obviously that, I know, especially David, he's doing his own things at home and going out running when he can, and you know, going up to the pitch and kicking a ball about trying to keep sharp, but it's nothing what it's like, as you know, going into match fitness, game fitness. So clubs need to build that up again and then obviously start again. So yeah, like, I just hope for everybody, even like whatever sport, whatever hobby, whatever people is in, this just kind of gets over sooner rather than later, and everybody can kind of get back to their life and get back to routines. And definitely, as I was saying to you, you know, before we came on here, like, I definitely won't take things for granted again.
Yeah, and I guess another one of the concerns that kind of continues through this is the kind of survival of football clubs as well, isn't it? We talked about the investment from many professional sides in the women's game.
Yeah.
Is there a concern there that as teams don't have that extra revenue coming in from walk-up punters, from hospitality and stuff like that, that they may be having to withdraw some of the funding for the women's game? And again, after taking all these positive steps forward that we've talked about, it maybe gets set back, because I guess the unfortunate reality is that, as it stands, the men's game is always going to be prioritised until the women's game gets up there and starts to generate similar amounts of money, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think always when I played at clubs, like, obviously the situation right now, it was always a concern, because if the men's team don't do well and they don't generate as much money, then it's going to have a knock-on effect everywhere else. So obviously, as you stated, the women's team aren't priority because we don't generate the same, you know, amount of revenue or ticket sales or whatever. So yeah, it's always a worry. But to be honest, a lot of the women, you know, I was fortunate that I did at some clubs, you know, got paid to play. So I was very grateful for that at a lot of clubs, but I've been at clubs and they don't pay you. So girls are used to that. Long as they can, you know, have a safe place to train, have their training kit, and, you know, maybe help towards petrol, then, to be honest, that's kind of what most of the teams are doing in Scotland right now. So hopefully that the teams can still back that and support that for the girls, at least, because obviously, it's like the men's team, they do it because they love doing it. You know, like, yeah, the men, it's a bonus if they can get a good salary from it. But a lot of the women still work, so they've got their jobs and then they go to training. So that won't change for them, unless, obviously, under the circumstances, they've now lost their job as well. So hopefully that doesn't happen. So yeah, it's always a worry, to be honest, in the women's game when it comes to finance. So I'm just hoping that it doesn't affect them too much, to be honest. I really hope it doesn't, because obviously it's a lot, it's an out as well for a lot of people, as you know, through mental health and stuff as well. So hopefully they can keep their women's teams going.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know I'm kind of jumping about from one place to the other here, but
no, you're fine.
You're kind of talking about ways that you're keeping yourself occupied. What was the TikTok video all about? That was
something. Everybody that know me and David, that just kind of sums us up, to be honest. We're both as mental as each other, but you know, we were sitting and I've got a TikTok account, and David's like, I'm not getting that, it's a load of rub-a-dub. And I was like, come on, it'll be a laugh. And there was actually no alcohol involved, to be honest. So we were just sitting, I was like, come on, let's do a funny video. So I just kind of roped him into it, and it was just really to cheer everybody up. You know, we're sitting and we're like, oh, this is dead. Like, you know, you just feel down and you're like, right, what are we going to do? And then I was like, come on, let's do it. Roped him into doing it. And yeah, it got a good response. It basically made everybody laugh, and that's what we wanted from it. So yeah, we done it for a laugh, and it honestly, we're not right in the head at times, but yeah, it was good fun.
Yeah, it certainly raised a smile, and I think we can all kind of do with a wee bit of escape, particularly in these times.
Yeah.
Going back to the national side, and you mentioned the profile and how it's been building up. What I think has also been great to see, and it's something that from very early on when I met you, and the kind of respect you had from people coming along to games, you were quite a high profile figure, particularly with no disrespect to the Muddle team that you joined at the time. You were very much the figurehead, the experienced player that had achieved great success in your career until that point. Now there's so many of the girls in that national side that are really quite prominent, and I dare say kind of they've achieved a fair degree of fame.
Yeah.
The likes of Erin Cuthbert in particular, who, she speaks so well, she's got such great passion for the national side. She kind of reminds me a bit like James McFadden when he was playing for the national side.
It's
the kind of talisman type thing, it drives them forward. But there's so many in that team that are now playing at the highest level down south. Yeah. And not only that, they're the best players in that league as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's why obviously the national team did so well, you know, getting to the World Cup, because when I played for my national team, we were all still working, you know, playing with clubs in Scotland, and then obviously going into international level, and all the other international teams that we played against, like Germany, France, they're all full-time footballers. So it was so hard to compete when your league isn't full-time, you're still trying to work, and then you're trying to compete against athletes that are obviously training and playing every day together. So obviously now, and obviously they were all playing in the highest leagues around the world, where we were playing, and most of us were still playing in the Scottish leagues. So as disappointing as it is, obviously it would be fantastic if Scottish leagues had all the international players up here and it was more competitive. But obviously you can't blame anybody to go down to England, whether it's America, you know, Germany, France, wherever it is they're playing, to do a sport that they love full time, and that's their job. Like, you would be silly not to do that. So, and obviously they're playing now with the top players in the world, and as you say, Scotland now have a lot of top players in the world, like Erin Cuthbert, your Kim Littles. So yeah, it's so good to see, and it's you can see it now when Scotland match up against these countries they're training and playing, all these girls that are they're playing against and at the same level of fitness and getting all the support that they need. So I think it's great to see. It really is really good to see. And I just hope Scotland can push on the leagues now and build it to be better and bigger like the other countries have.
Taking it back to the club side of things,
yep.
You had left Motherwell in November of 2017. The following season they went on and won SWPL2.
Yep.
Held their own. It wasn't always plain sailing last season. Yeah. I think they were certainly stronger than the likes of Stirling University and Forfar. Were quite often going toe-to-toe with the likes of Rangers, who over the break had a great deal of investment and looked ready to push on to the next level. Spartans, mm-hmm. another side that the Motherwell were able to go toe to toe with.
Yeah.
They held their own. They managed to survive. This season, they'll be looking to go a wee bit better. But given the fact that I've mentioned mm-hmm. Rangers now a lot stronger, mm-hmm. Hibs are always a strong side, one of your former clubs. Celtic, yep. another one of your former clubs.
I've been to a few, haven't I?
We'll be there.
Celtic as well.
Glasgow City, another one of your former yep. clubs. But you know what I mean? The Hearts yeah. came up last season as well.
Yep.
Pippin, Hamilton, Ackies, who would have been another strong addition to the league. It's
yep.
it's never going to get much easier for Motherwell. Eddie Willecky Black back in charge after yep. Donald Genoa did really, really well keeping yep. the team in the league. It's going to be a tough challenge for Eddie when football does resume.
Yeah, definitely. But to be honest, Eddie will thrive on that challenge. And as a player, you want to play against the best. So the girls will be ready to go in and play. And see, to be honest, Andy, if they get the girls fit and strong with Eddie's input, then, you know, anything can happen. Yeah, okay, like Rangers, Celtic, Hibs, Cities. You know, they're the top kind of clubs at the moment. They've especially Rangers. It's going to be actually interesting to see what they bring to the table this year, because obviously they've invested a lot and they've got some, you know, great players in. So it will be interesting to see. But Hibs lost a lot of players as well. Remember, they lost a lot of players down to England as well. So, you know, I think I don't think they'll struggle, but they won't be as strong as what they have been either. So it's kind of all up in the air just now because people have signed, you know, new players and stuff. So, but I think Motherwell have got a few good players in there that can compete at that level. And as you say, like they held their own against a lot of the other clubs. So I think Motherwell maybe be aiming for like mid table. You know, that would be a target, especially for the first season. So I don't think it's unrealistic for Eddie. And if they get higher, then that's, you know, that's amazing. But obviously, my opinion is with the top teams that are there that have kind of been there for years, then I think they'll plant themselves at the top four.
How much a surprise was it for you a year after leaving the club? They won the league, they mm-hmm. got to the Scottish Cup final as well, albeit that didn't go the way that they would have yep. hoped, but they got a great victory over Spartans in the semi-final, mm-hmm. got to the final. It's been quite a rapid ascension up the leagues, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Because obviously, when I was there, we just jump up the leagues, and then obviously when I retired. But there was no doubt. There was no doubt in my mind that Motherwell being involved at the club and obviously the talent that was there, and they stayed. The thing is with Motherwell, which was good, is they stayed together as a team. Like there wasn't many players that really left at that point and went to other teams. You know, they could easily jump to other teams because they were going up the ranks and getting noticed more. So it was good they kept the kind of same bulk of players, and that helps massively, you know, when you're jumping up the leagues, because obviously you know how each other play and you've kind of figured out your team and the strengths and weaknesses. So I wasn't surprised at all where Motherwell got to. I really wasn't. I kind of expected them to get there, if you know what I mean, because I'd been involved and I knew what talent was there. So I actually think Motherwell do quite well, to be honest, going up. I just think, for me, if they get fit, obviously, and Eddie has his input in, because obviously his experience and what he's done with former clubs, then, yeah, by all means, I think Motherwell will do really well.
And when we talked about the fact that Hibs lost a lot of players, I think that's quite an yep. interesting one to touch upon.
Yep.
The likes of Jamie Lee Napier yep. going to Chelsea.
Abby Harrison. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They seem to... without kind of compensation as well, which must really, really kind of hurt the clubs yeah. and the kind of freedom of movement.
Yeah.
You then look at the likes of Rangers and Celtic as well, who are bringing players in from abroad.
Yeah.
Does that worry you somewhat that it maybe hampers the younger Scottish players coming through, or do you expect they'll thrive at the likes of the Glasgow City, Hibs, Motherwell, for instance?
Yeah, I think they'll thrive from it, to be honest. I think the more better players that we have in the league will better the younger ones coming through, because, like, I used to love, I know it sounds quite crazy, I used to love playing against players that were better than me. Like, I used to love going, oh my goodness, like, she's the best defender in Scotland. It was a challenge for me, and it was a challenge I relished, because I used to want to compete at the highest level and go by that defender that was, you know, one of the best defenders in Scotland or in the world. When I got by her once, I was like, wow. And it gives you a boost of confidence and makes you a better player. Where if it's easy, it's not a challenge. It's not really enjoyable. So for me, I think the young players will relish. If this league has better players, then it'll bring on the younger ones for sure. Definitely. Even at training, the standard of training, when you've got better players at training, the standard is so much better on the training field. And then that betters these players going into games. So yeah, for me, I think it'll definitely be a bonus that these better players are now coming into the league and hopefully, you know, encourage and support and help the younger ones develop.
Yeah, I think so too. It's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out. It certainly looks like it's going to be really tight up at the top end of the table. And with Rangers and Celtic, they don't really tend to take very kindly to not winning everything. So the fact that Glasgow City and Hibs have dominated the game for so long now, I think that's put a rocket up them to really go out there, spend some money and try and turn it around. So it'll be an interesting season when it does get up and running.
Yep.
I want to kind of move it off track again. Your husband David obviously playing with the Caledonian Braves, who for many of us are right on our doorstep. I don't think many people know a great deal about them, just due to the fact perhaps that most of us will be going to the Motherwell games on a Saturday.
We don't
really know that there's this alternative, possibly quite often in weeks that Motherwell aren't playing. How's that all been going? The first year they were formed in 2019, obviously.
Yeah, honestly, like I'm obviously not just saying that because my husband's at the club, but it's such a great setup. Like I've played at their stadium before a few times with Celtic. Actually, we used to play Rangers there quite a lot at their stadium, but they've got one wee stand. I think it's one wee stand actually, that you can go in and sit. So there's shelter, there's some seats, you know, there's a wee burger van outside, you can get a wee cup of tea and something to eat, and you know, obviously every game in David's league's tight, so it's a really good atmosphere. There's a good crowd. David gets a, like, junior level, lowland level gets a really good crowd, and obviously the boys come, and it's a family orientated club, which I love, obviously, because I take the boys a lot to watch David. And And it's great because I can take them because there's a shelter where a lot of David's clubs have been that's outside. You know, Pollock was great as well and Kilwinham was great. So it's great to see. And I was actually thinking that, you know, when David signed, I was like, if Motherwell are playing away and say like away fans can't, you know, like the fans can't get to the away games, it'd be great for them to come and support their next local, you know, team because it's right in the doorstep, as you say, from Motherwell. So they could maybe get that out there and advertise, and hopefully even just through this podcast that the fans would come and watch, because it's a really good club and they do really well and they support their players really good. So yeah, David loves it, and he said it's a great bunch of boys in the changing room, so he's thoroughly enjoying it.
And I suppose if they've got the right sort of ambition, the Lowland League now is a passport towards getting into the SPFL, and who knows what could happen from there. So I reckon that a complete unknown to me, it must be said, but it seems like they've done very well in their first season, and it's good to hear that the setup.
Definitely, like it's very professional, like everything's run correctly. Like it's just like when you go to a game, you'll know yourself, Andy, you've been to probably how many games, and obviously me being involved in the women's game, and I go to a lot of men's games as well. Like, you know, when you walk into a club or you walk into a stadium, you get the vibe. Like, it's such a good vibe. It's a welcoming vibe. And it's run professionally. So that's obviously attracted David to the club as well, because he's played professional most of his life. So, he's thoroughly enjoying it and still is. And he says it's a great club to be part of. So as long as David's happy and playing, then that keeps me happy, because he's happy. And he's no moaning.
Well, he certainly still seems to know where the net is. His goal scoring record. Who's got the better one?
Oh, it's definitely me, isn't it? It's his wife, isn't it? You'll be cursing me when I get off this, and when he listens to it, I always have a wee dig at him. But no, we're completely different players, Andy, believe it or not. David's definitely like more abilities, the tricks and the flicks and, you know, the technique, where I'm just put it in the net, that's it. I just hit the target and that's it. That's my job done. Where David's and I like work a lot harder than David. David just kind of, he's all a showboater, to be fair, but he's amazing at what he does, and obviously he's had a fantastic career, and he's really fortunate that he's still playing too. So yeah, he's doing really well.
Yeah, he'll get you back by playing till he's 57, though.
And, I know. I think maybe he should maybe retire and let his wife go back to play. That could be an option. He will definitely not have that option.
Well, you certainly put it out in the record now, so we can see what happens.
Put it out there, see what he says. I don't think Caledonia Brave will be happy with that, right enough.
Yeah, I suppose there is that too. You've just kind of tried to get the best player.
I'm just trying to get him to retire, right? That won't go down well. No, I'm only kidding. No, in all seriousness, like, he's doing great, David. He does. He gets a lot of stick, obviously, with me playing, but he's been so supportive of me through my whole career, and it's we have a laugh about it all the time, the two of us, and yeah, he's been so supportive from day one when we playing football, which is also great, because it's not easy if, you know, sometimes I've been in former relationships and none of them play football, and it's like, are you going to training again? And, you know, like, and David's always out training, so you get it because you're involved yourself. And obviously in our household, there's always football on. So I'm not like, you know, some females don't like football. So for me, it's like, no, get the football on. So yeah, it's great that we've got similar interests in football.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were talking before we started about the difficulties that have come from the recent scenario with the world, everything's really been put in hold. And we were talking about how difficult it was for yourself hanging up your boots and stepping away from football. There's now the situation where many of us have had to take a step back from doing the things we love. It's a real challenge for people, isn't it? And it's difficult because I think you look across social media platforms and even talking to friends and family, there is a lot of people that are just struggling without any sort of routine, whether they're into football or whether they're into anything, to be perfectly honest.
Definitely.
Life has just changed so much.
It's the sort of saying to you, I feel like I really won't take the smallest things for granted ever again, whether it's just going out for a nice coffee, like taking the boys to a nice park, like spending time with David that we don't get. Like, that's the bonus for us as a family. Like, David's either working or he's playing football, so we've got so busy lives. I'm taking Oscar to all his activities and Theo, and, you know, and it's when you actually sit down and you reflect and you're just like, wow, I don't spend enough time with my family. I don't go up the road enough to see my family, and I'm going to make sure that that's a point after this is over to spend more time with my loved ones that I don't see, because I moan sometimes. I'm like, oh, I've got to drive up that A9. Not moaning that I'm going up to see my family. I'm like, oh, it's such a long drive. And, oh, like packing half a house to take the kids up. I'll never moan about doing that again. Because see, when it's taken away from me, it's like, wow, I can't actually just jump in the car and go up the road and give my mum a hug and my dad and, you know, like my sisters, my stepmom. So it's difficult. So I definitely will not take the smaller things for granted again.
And I suppose things like birthdays and things like that.
Yeah,
day,
I was on lockdown.
It's a bit of a different experience. And again, possibly they'll give you the opportunity to hear from people wishing you well. And I saw it happening in abundance, people getting in contact. That must raise the spirits when it's easy to kind of feel a wee bit kind of sorry for ourselves just now, I guess. It's shite. There's no getting away from it.
Oh, definitely not. But I was saying that to David, I was like, technology now, you know, nowadays it's like actually great that you can FaceTime, and, you know, they're having these house party apps and Zoom and obviously Skype and stuff. So like, it would be so much worse if you just didn't have, just to see it, like to see your family member's face on the screen. And like, it's not the same just a call than it is to actually see them. So like for my mom, she FaceTimes every 2 minutes of the day as it is, just to see the kids. So if we didn't have that, then yeah, I think it would be a lot tougher. And then obviously I've got a twin, so this is probably one of the birthdays that we've not spent together, because we always make a point of spending our birthday together. So yeah, we're going to definitely make up for it once this is over. But it was nice just to FaceTime her, and we had a wee glass of fizz and we're like, cheers. And I think I had actually a bottle that night, to be fair, never mind just a glass. But I wasn't going anywhere, so I was like, I may as well just take full advantage. But no, in all seriousness, it, it is good just to pick up the phone. And, you know, if anyone's struggling, I'd like to think that they would just pick up the phone and phone me, or phone a loved one, or phone a friend, or even tap a neighbour's door and just, you know, obviously say, like, I'm struggling. And, you know, there's help out there, and I hope people reach out and get the help that they need.
No, absolutely. And that's, I don't think I could put it any better. In fact, I definitely can't put it any better than you have there. I'd like to take the chance to thank everyone that has been listening. The numbers have been absolutely fantastic in the last week.
Yep.
There's more guests coming over the course of the week, up to £175 donated on the,
that's amazing,
the Just Giving page. As it stands, I'd set the target at 250, and it looks, given the rate of donations, it will pass that. So thank you to everyone that has donated.
Thank you, Andy, for doing such a great thing. It's lovely to see all these people like yourself, you know, that are doing such lovely things for charities and to try and lift everyone's spirits. And I think it's a great cause and it's fantastic. And obviously, thanks for asking me on to be part of it.
No, thank you. As I say, it's always a pleasure getting to speak to you. And I don't think that as a podcast, perhaps I have covered the women's game as much as we should have. And it gives us a good insight. It's obviously a period of uncertainty where we don't know when things are going to kick on and get back to normality. But I think it's fair to say, in the couple of years that have passed since the last time you were on, you must be thrilled with where the women's games are.
Oh, 100%. Everyone says, oh, you're not gutted because you're not playing. And, you know, how far women's game? Of course I am. Of course I'm gutted. I don't play. I wish I was, 20 years younger and still kicking a ball. That's what every, you know, whether it's a boy or girl's dream is, to play football or whatever sport is for the rest of their life. But there comes a point where you have to stop. Like, so for me now, my passion is supporting my son who's playing, supporting David who's playing, and supporting the women's game. And I'll always support the women's game and go to games and take Oscar and watch games. And every time I go, I'm like, it's getting bigger and better. And obviously you've seen my passion on Sky Sports for the national team. I've wore that shirt many a times, and I've still got to say, I still feel like I'm kicking a ball with them. And, you know, and all the girls that have played that have retired, like, we get together and we always share our stories and the memories from playing. So football will still be a massive part of my life. It's just obviously a different way now, obviously, rather than playing. So yeah, I'll still try and do my bit for women and girls football as much as I can, and pushing the game forward. And hopefully if you inspire like one kid for playing or sharing a story, then, you know, my job's done.
Yeah, and then let's hope that we hear more from you. As I say, I think that in terms of the increased coverage and such like over the last year or so, then hopefully it becomes a norm that you can turn on the BBC Scotland channel, for instance, and you can see games with English commentary. I think this may be a petty gripe, but I do find that a wee bit difficult to put on BBC Alba and not have the English commentary or even a button that we could press to get the English commentary. I know they must have contractual obligations to do it, but it's just taking it that one step further that we can really
obviously it was great that, you know, Channel 4 had the rights for the World Cup, and, you know, the games were all televised. But as far as the Scottish League, yeah, I get your frustration, but we have to be so grateful for BBC Alba that they're actually putting the women's game out there. And I think it was my mum that said, she actually said the same comment. She went, Suzanne, the Gaelic, I don't understand. I said, just mute the telly. So she just muted the telly the full game. And I get it's not the same, you know, the atmosphere or whatever. But hopefully one day that, you know, the Scottish Leagues gets bigger and better, which, as we were talking about earlier in the podcast, is getting there, that, you know, it'll just be the normal, as you say, to turn on BBC or turn on Channel 4 or whatever channel, even Sky Sports, and we've got Scottish League women's football on the telly with Scottish or English, whoever, commentators that you can understand. So I think it will happen. I don't see it happening in the next 5 to 10 years, but hopefully down the line it will progress and get bigger and better.
And will you be hoping to be the Ellie Alico or Alex Scott in the studio?
You're kidding me on. Well, it wouldn't be, let's hope it wouldn't be live then, because I'm a loose cannon with my F-bombs. But no, you know, see, to be honest, like my experience I've had good on the telly, I really don't like doing it. I get so nervous, I get paranoid, and you get a lot of backlash, you know, from people that assume you're a commentator and you go on, and I'm just a fan, and you know, so it's hard sometimes. I got quite a lot, and I mean, don't get me wrong, more positive comments on my social media than I did negative, but the negative ones, it's what you tend to latch to. So I was like, oh God, I'm not a commentator. I didn't mean to come across that. That's not who I am. But obviously these people don't know me, so you just have to ignore it. And the ones that know me obviously know that is my personality and that's my character, and I'm not going to change it, and I'm not going to not be passionate for my country. So if I was to ever go back on, I'd probably be exactly the same.
No, please don't change. It was refreshing to see. And yeah, you're right. You can have 100 positive comments and one nasty one, and perhaps you pay more attention to that one nasty one. And it's just the way we are, I guess. But Suzanne, as far as I'm concerned, and you're a massive part of the women's game, you're an inspiration. Thank you very much for being on tonight.
No, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
Call and call my phone, thinking I'm doing nothing better. I'm just waiting for it to stop so I can use it again.
I was gonna call you back, I swear. Just as soon as I felt.
You call and call my phone, thinking I'm doing nothing better. I'm just waiting for it to stop so I can get back to it. How funny family is actually fucking has you in bits. Your mum has good genes but dads are ripped. Dance like no one is awkward, to music listen to lit. You'd worry less about what they thought if you knew how little they did. Onto better things, they fucking love all of the guessing. Someone just met your ex thinking they met someone special.
I was gonna call you back, I swear, just as soon as I felt.
The phone is ringing, can't use it till it stops. I moan and listen, the tone emits. The only man in black, high-vis jackets in the cap. Brexit breakfast, day glow stars, I am backing and dashing. Whoever's with my ex needs to do better, she's still texting me at 2 till 10. Weird liquor tastes weirdly better when your life is fucked up.
I was gonna call you back, I swear, just as soon as I felt.
You call and call my phone thinking I'm doing nothing better. I'm just waiting for it to stop so I can use it again. Love isn't a riddle, love isn't made to be hard. You know I'd give you my kidney, just don't ever take my charger. So dance like no one is awkward, to music listen to lit. You'd worry less about what they thought if you knew how little they did. You call and call my phone thinking I'm doing nothing better. I'm just waiting for it to stop so I can use it again.
I was gonna call you back, I swear.
Call my phone thinking I'm doing nothing better. I'm just waiting for it to stop so I can use it again. You call and call my phone thinking I'm doing nothing better. I'm just waiting for it to stop so I can use it again.